Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether today in these pews or sometime throughout the week or online. We are glad that you're with us. A note for all of our members who are here. We have the annual meeting after worship, and we are not having coffee hour until the annual meeting is over. So don't think you're going to get your coffee and get your treats and stuff first, because then you'll leave, and we don't want that. So Sue will play a short postlude just to transition us from the worship moment to the business of the church, but after that, we will have what we hope to be a short annual meeting, and then we'll have coffee hour and such. So that's great. I have a food pantry update. The Waupun food pantry is in need of several different items, most especially in this time of year. Looks like top of the list are mac and cheese, spaghetti sauce, pancake syrup, pork and beans, shampoo, toothpaste, toilet paper, soaps, and deodorant. So if you are interested in donating any of those items, Terry and the food pantry staff will be most appreciative. Anything is helpful, but those items in particular right now. Are there any other announcements this morning? Okay, yeah.
I just wanted to put April 26th, Sunday, April 26th on your calendar. Bring all your family and friends. The confirmation candidates, their faith partners, and their parents are putting on a soup luncheon fundraiser. We kind of depleted our retreat monies to go on to the Pilgrim Center, or now called De Chola, and we're going to have a fundraiser to replenish some of those funds. And we're really excited. We want you to bring your families, your friends, and we'll give you the confirmands. We'll be making announcements in the near future with more details. But just for now, Sunday, April 26th on your calendar. Thank you.
Yeah. And I just want to add from what Becky said, that the fact that we depleted those monies is a good problem to have, because by some miracle, we were able to get all six of our confirmands to join us for the confirmation retreat, as well as myself and Becky and Heather Vanderkin. And it was a really lovely weekend, and we just want to make sure that as many of our confirmation kids in the future can have the opportunity to have that retreat and be able to meet other people who are going on their confirmation journeys, as well as just have the various camp experiences that can help them grow in their faith. I know that personally, I had a really formative, had several really formative experiences at camp. Camp was when I understood myself to be a Christian. Camp was where I first experienced my call to ministry. Really, really important formation happened there for me and for so many others. And so this is a very meaningful and worthy cause to donate to. Anything else? Yes, Heather.
Good morning and welcome. On behalf of the Missions Committee, this quarter project, we're doing something a little different. We are looking to put together some meals for families in our community that Laura has been in communication with Terry at the food pantry, and we've identified families that are in need of meals that more protein-based, more nutritious meals, but they struggle to either find the time or the resources to put them together. So for the next couple of months, we're going to try something new. We're going to be putting together some pre-made meals for them, things that are quick to make, either just reheat in the oven or throw into a slow cooker. And we're going to be purchasing some slow cookers for those families that don't have those things at home to create these meals. And the biggest need is where they're lacking protein. You heard some of the items that the food pantry needs, but you notice those are more quick,
carby
processed meals. So we're looking to create some high protein meals for these families. So we're asking you if you're interested in creating something at home that can be put in a freezer and taken out and reheated, that would be fantastic. We're also going to be coming to the church kitchen to put together some freezer meals. It's basically going to be something that they can throw in a crock pot, press start, and when they get home, it'll be made for their family. So if you're interested in this, please let me know. I will let you know as soon as we get a date on the calendar to make those meals. But have a little grace with us because this is something new. We've never done it, but we're trying to fill a need. So if you're interested in contributing to purchasing the crock pots and the ingredients to make the meals, there's envelopes in the back. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Heather. And as many of us know, a lot of the protein, a lot of the protein items that many of us take for granted and many of us have in our freezers have become more expensive over recent months and years. You know, beef and other things like that are frightfully expensive, and so it's if they feel expensive to us, they are even more unattainable for people who don't necessarily have the resources for one reason or the other. So a very important mission there. Very good. If there are no other announcements, the choir will start with an intro.
Use the metaphor of walking in God's ways to help us see the benefits to our spiritual lives of moving toward the goodness of God. During our worship series, we are looking at the ordinary activities of our lives with a new perspective, seeing the potential for deep spiritual connection and nourishment in our everyday rhythms. This week, our spiritual practice will help us see our walking, or any kind of movement, as a blessed gift of God's love in action in the world.
In
Instead of a call to worship this morning, I wanted to share with you a poem. I had a meeting with my spiritual director early this week, and she read this poem to me as we were meeting, and it really hit what I was feeling, and I had a sense it might hit where you're feeling as well, and it also kind of works into our theme for today. So this is "Don't Hesitate" by the poet Mary Oliver.
Don't Hesitate, a poem by Mary Oliver. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give into it. There are plenty of lives and whole towns destroyed or about to be. We are not wise and not very often kind. And much can never be redeemed. Still, life has some possibility left. Perhaps this is its way of fighting back, that sometimes something happens better than all the riches or power in the world. It could be anything, but very likely you notice it in the instant when love begins. Anyway, that's often the case. Anyway, whatever it is, don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not made to be a crumb.
Please rise if you are able and join me in our unison prayer this morning. Energizing God, we give you thanks for the gift of movement in our physical bodies. Open our hearts to the light of possibilities, even when the day ahead holds difficulties. Be with us, near us, beside us. Amen. Our opening prayer this morning is number 248, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
And this might be a new hymn to some of us. So the choir is going to sing verse 1, and then verses 2 and 3, you can join us.
Oh,
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy. Bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall certainly perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The second reading today is from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Those whose way is blameless, who walk in the Lord's instruction, are truly happy. Those who guard God's laws are truly happy. They seek God with all their hearts. They don't even do anything wrong. They walk in God's ways. God, you have ordered that your decrees should be kept most carefully. How I wish my ways were strong when it comes to keeping your statutes, that I wouldn't be ashamed when I examine all your commandments. I will give thanks to you with a heart that does right as I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Please don't leave me all alone. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words.
Thank you, Becky. Our media song for this morning comes from Pharrell Williams. This is Happy, and you'll find some minions in there too, I think. Thank you. Alana saw my sermon title and sheepishly walked into my office on Thursday, wondering what on earth she should do for the background picture. It makes sense, I promise. Let's pray, friends. God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So if you don't already know this, I have a 2-inch leg length difference as a result of my cerebral palsy. My right leg is 2 inches longer than my left leg, and I learned to walk out of alignment with how people typically walk. Some people call my walk more like a waddle. Feels a little weird to say it like that, but it's true. It didn't bother me very much until I was in high school when I started to notice the difference more acutely in my hips and in my back. I would get some pain. There was a point that it became rather painful simply to walk normally. Now, it wasn't that that occupational and physical therapists never recommended that I use a shoe lift. I was just stubborn because I didn't want to be different than other kids. I saw that even a small adaptation to my clothing was yet another way I was different from everybody else in the world, and there were already too many of those differences in my view. Now, I would later understand that this kind of thinking was nothing more than internalized ableism. The way I learned to think about myself through the same distorted social constructs people with normal bodies had. But at some point, I couldn't ignore those feelings anymore. I finally realized that if I had a shoe lift, I could walk more comfortably and I wouldn't be in so much pain anymore. That experience taught me something not just about my body, but about faith, about alignment and shame and what it means to walk in God's way. I can still remember that the first time I walked with a shoe lift, The first 3 steps that I took were utterly transformative, and I couldn't believe I had allowed myself to be influenced by the same kinds of lies that had kept me from greater comfort and accessibility. Now I walk a lot straighter and a lot taller as a result, and even though my hips will still come out of alignment as a result of normal daily usage, that situation is much more manageable and usually can be dealt with by going to a massage therapist regularly. I go about every 4 to 6 weeks or so, and it helps a lot. And I'm also grateful to Gary and Katie over at Brooks Shoes and Repair here in town, because I buy shoes directly from them, and Gary knows me well enough that he won't even show me shoes that can't have a lift put in them. You know, small town service at its best. And as it turns out, most people will tell me that unless I had brought it up, unless I had actively told them to notice my shoe and how it looks relative to my other shoe, people couldn't tell the difference. When you see me at a distance, you know, this shoe is different and this shoe is, you know, this shoe is different from that shoe, but most people say they can't tell. But, you know, that shoe you see on the screen is kind of like what my first shoe looked like. They have more of a lift than I do, but not by much. As I was thinking about this week's texts and the idea of movement as resiliency that Marcia McPhee is playing with this week, I thought about what I learned from my experience of using a shoe lift. I learned that no matter if I was perceived to be different in some way, that I still deserved to be as physically comfortable as possible with whatever adaptations I needed. Just like anybody deserves to live a life with as little chronic pain as they possibly can. Now, it's true that both of our texts for today use walking as a metaphor for following God and doing what God asks of us, but Marcia McPhee offers us the opportunity to actually live into that metaphor. As we think about the kinds of spiritual resiliency that we can cultivate in these difficult and scary times, she reminds us that walking and other forms of movement can deepen our connection to the world around us. Both of these texts amplify that point, but through slightly different methods. Deuteronomy, for example, frames this as a pretty stark opposition between good and evil, life and death. Eugene Peterson paraphrases it this way in his translation called The Message. He says, "But I warn you, if you have a change of heart, refuse to listen obediently and willfully go off and serve and worship other gods, you will most certainly die. You won't last as long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess." Now, at first, this Deuteronomy text feels pretty binary. If you do the right things, God rewards you. If you don't, God punishes you. Full stop. Now, in our current political landscape, using this kind of theology can be very tempting if we cling to the rightness of our own perspective. Now, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole because I like to keep my job, but I think you're smart enough to make those connections on your own. And that kind of thinking has done real harm, especially to people who are already suffering. If we forget the fact that we need each other, if we forget the fact that not everybody in our world has the same opportunities as we do, forget the fact that the good news of God's love is truly for everyone, we certainly will die. Maybe not in the literal sense, but in the sense of our morality, in the sense of keeping community with one another. Because the truth is that this notion that if we believe in God, everything will go okay for us, it's not quite that simple. Other biblical voices, like the Psalms of Lament and Job and Lamentations, push back, naming a harder truth. Good people still suffer. The wicked often prosper. And pain is not a punishment earned. And to blame people for their suffering is not faithful theology. It's adding shame to wounds that should never have been theirs in the first place. So what do we do instead? What can we learn from today's texts? I think our text from the Psalms can offer us an antidote. The psalmist reminds us that we're not always going to get it right. The psalmist says, "How I wish my ways were strong when it comes to keeping your statutes." I know I personally can think of times when I haven't followed what God wills for my life. And strange as it sounds, I don't think that God would have willed that I believe a lie that it was shameful to be different from others. God's will was not my endurance of pain, but God's will was for my flourishing. And it's okay to have these experiences and learn from them, because the psalmist reminds us that we give thanks for God's grace and mercy as we keep trying. The psalmist says, "I will give thanks to you with a heart that does right as I learn your righteous rules." Living in God's way leads to a better life, a more fulfilling life, a way of flourishing. That's why our media song for today was "Happy" by Pharrell Williams, which we just saw in the song. Joy isn't tied to circumstances, but to an inner orientation. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Open and resilient, no matter what comes. The psalm echoes that same idea by grounding happiness not in fleeting feelings, but in walking in God's way and living with integrity. And together they suggest that deep happiness grows when our lives are aligned, open to joy and rooted in faithfulness, even when life doesn't cooperate. That's also what Mary Oliver talks about in her poem, "Don't Hesitate." I chose to feature it because it's okay to hold space for joy and happiness even as we grieve over the state of the world. And the choir's anthem, "Lift Your Light," also reminds us to shine our light through the darkness of the world because of the love Jesus has for us. But the truth is, a lot of you already know this. Many of you have told me that you enjoy taking walks to experience nature, and you might walk with somebody else and talk to them to deepen your connection with each other, and that aligns with what you are invited to do this week. This week, I'm going to invite you to take a walk around your neighborhood and simply notice how you feel in your body. And if walking is difficult for you, consider engaging in some form of movement that makes you feel good in your body. Because none of this means that the problems of our lives will go away. Believing in God doesn't mean that everything is going to be okay. We will still have to reckon with the terrible news going on in our country and around the world. But today's scriptures remind us that walking in God's ways, keeping our promises to God, and treating others in a way that pleases God can help us be resilient in times such as these and give us ways that lead to better, more flourishing life. Now, as we have our annual meeting after worship today, that gives us an additional opportunity to remember who we are as a church and how we want to journey along God's paths in the coming year. You are good people, and you have what it takes to continue that growth, even when it's hard, even when the call of God might ask more of us. So, may you go into this week knowing the joys and happiness of journeying with God through hard times. You are loved by God, and you have what you need to grow in your faith and in your life. And as you walk this week, literally or figuratively, may you trust that God desires your alignment, your comfort, and your joy, not your pain. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now we turn our hearts and minds to more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that are on our hearts today. I'm going to invite you to take a few moments of silence to think about those folks, and then we will share joys and concerns together. Amen. So we remember Paul Reynolds in rehab at the Christian home. He craves visitors, and so if you know Paul, you're welcome to go and visit him. For Paul and for Laura, God in your mercy. For Harriet Laird, as she continues along her hospice journey, God in your mercy. What other prayers do we have this morning?
We ask that you pray for Carlene Wolian, sister of Ted and Keith, who was in a very serious car accident. She's doing rehab and hopes to be out of the hospital in 1 to 2 weeks.
Wow. Okay. For Carlene, as she recovers, and for Carlene's medical team, God in your mercy. Anything else today?
I would also ask that you pray for my granddaughter, who has a seizure disorder that has yet to be diagnosed.
Wow. What's her first name?
Maya.
Maya. For Maya and her medical team, God in your mercy. Anything else? Okay. Then let us be in a time. Oh, I did forget to tell you that my cousin Alyssa, who we prayed for last week, had a successful surgery, and she's doing well at home. She needs to continue to heal so that her lower leg won't have to be amputated. So for Alyssa, God in your mercy. Okay, now let's pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the ways that you align us with what leads to life, what leads to flourishing, what leads to joy. Even in these difficult days that we face in our own lives, in our community's lives, in our country, and in the world, we ask you to be in a special way with those who need your hand of support. For Alyssa and Harriet and Jen and Paul and Laura and Maya and Carlene and others who deal with various difficult circumstances. And help us lift our light, shine it in the darkness, because we remember your great love for us. Help us share that love with others that they may know it's true. Help us remember how to live according to the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. If you're here with us today, you may offer a gift through the offering plate as the ushers come around. You may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, remember that your gift not only benefits this local church, but the church universal. Dedication. Calling voice who leads us toward freedom, we give thanks for every gift offered today, for open hands, willing hearts, and the courage that will imagine to share life may fail. Let us move where relief is needed, where repair can begin, where dignity can rise. Make these gifts more than generosity. Make them instruments of justice, seeds of compassion, signs that your vision is taking root among us. For every burden lifted, for every neighbor tended, for every act of mercy made possible, we give you thanks. Carry us forward in this work with you. Shape the world we are building. Amen. You may be seated. Now comes the time where we share in Holy Communion, otherwise known as the Lord's Supper. Remind each other, we remind ourselves, that this table does not belong to us, even as we have a lovely table set, we remember that Christ is the host, and Christ invites all of us to participate, whether we are a member of this church or this denomination or not. And if you are joining us on Zoom, we have some liturgy, so you'll have some time if you like to to get your elements from your pantry so that you can join and be with us. Let's pray. God is with you.
And also.
And also with you.
I know what is sad.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks to the Holy One, our God.
It is good and beautiful to hear our praise.
In the beginning, you said, "Let there be light."
Through your word, all things were created, and in them was light.
In the light of the rainbow, you made covenant with all creation. With the light of your word, you have guided us through law and prophets.
And in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, the light of the world. Therefore, with all who have accessory, all who shine with your light, we sing your praise.
Blessed are all who come in your name, and blessed is Jesus, your Christ. He saw your light in all people and called us to shine with your grace. For his resistance to oppression, he was crucified, but you raised him from the dead. And on that night, when he knew that he was going to be betrayed and arrested and crucified, he broke bread. He blessed it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you and for all, to remember that my love goes with you. Every time you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." And after they were finished eating, he took a cup and poured it out. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my blood, pour it out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins, to remember that my love flows through you. Every time you drink this, do so in remembrance of me." As often as we share this bread and share this cup, we remember his death and resurrection until he comes again. Remembering these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a living and holy sacrifice.
In union with Christ's offering for us, as he proclaimed
the mystery
of our faith.
Dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restores our life. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by your grace, shining with your light, for the sake of the wholeness of the world.
The gifts of God are given for the people of God. At this time, I invite you to come and receive communion. As anybody who's been with us before will remember, you can come to receive communion by way of the center aisle. You'll see two large trays of bread and one smaller bowl of gluten-free bread. The other two trays contain gluten. All of our cups contain grape juice, so you may take a piece of bread eat it, and then take a cup of grape juice and drink it, and then return to your seats by way of the side aisles. The gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready.
Thank you.
communion. Gracious God, we thank you for the mystery that you give yourself to us. You have fed us with your light. You have salted us with your grace. That we may be light for the world and seasoning for the earth. In the name and the Spirit of Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 712, Sent Forth by God's Blessing. Please rise if it's comfortable for you to do so. Together in our mission and vision statements. We go now to love God's creation, to share in fellowship, and to live Christ's example, while seeking God's blessings on our lives and on our communities. Living our core values, we, the family of Union Congregational Church, seek to deepen our own spirituality with acceptance of all through love and commitment to Christ. Before I offer a benediction, the choir will offer one, so you can be seated.
Thank you.
Before I give the benediction, just a reminder that we won't be starting coffee hour until after the meeting, so stay right where you are. Now, go into the world, feeling the wrap of love around your shoulders, the embrace of well-being encompassing your heart, the confidence that only requires one foot in front of the other, and the assurance that you are not alone. This world needs you and will patiently wait for your light to shine, illuminating just one small corner, speaking even a little bit of hope. We are in it together, along with the one who created us, the one who redeems us, the one who sustains us. So be it. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, but stay right here. Amen.
Kindly give us a prayer to start this meeting, Pastor.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for all the ways that this church continues to thrive, continues to grow in the light of your love.